Yes, the comment that you probably are referring to, the one I made about looking at other products, we are planning on staying in the low-speed vehicle industry. There's a number of reasons for that. It's mainly it has to do with battery technology and range and affordability of large battery packs. You only have to go 25 miles per hour for about 25 miles. You can use pretty simple technology, which keeps the price down. And when the price is down, people will buy them in sufficient numbers for us to make a living doing that. And that's what we want to do. There's plenty of transportation, duties and applications where this vehicle suits that just fine. In fact, we recently completed a study that was actually done by Green Car Marketing Communications for us, which showed, or the Green Car Institute actually, where we surveyed, we have about 10,000 owners right now in California. We surveyed, a fairly large population, a very significant population. And for the people who own a GEM and another vehicle, they actually use the GEM for 2 out of every 3 trips, which is pretty amazing, which means they left their combustion-powered car parked and they didn't have cold start emissions. And if you know much about the emission cycle, you know that most of the emissions is generated during the cold start. So you could basically say that for these owners that own a GEM and a combustion vehicle, they've eliminated 2/3 of their emissions on an annual basis. So that's pretty significant. So we are committed, like I said, we're committed to a whole array of products, but from my perspective as, head of GEM, I'm committed to the low-speed vehicle in this business.
So in terms of profitability, how many years are you going to go out right now before profitability, if profitability was to, how many years, 05 or 08, before profitability catches up, or are you profitable right now?
We are profitable right now, yes. What we did in the last several years, all of you know, it's no secret that we put a lot of vehicles into the marketplace through, thanks to the California Resources Board. The reality of that situation, however, was that it really made for tremendous market awareness of our vehicles. And in 2003, things really clicked for us. We, because of what I call seeding the market with these little cars, which do their own marketing for us, the natural demand for the vehicle has really taken off, believe it or not. And even though the three OEMs, the three U.S. OEMs, really focused on putting a lot of neighborhood vehicles into California, we thought the market here would be done for a long, long time. It turns out it's not. We're selling about 30 to 40% of our sales nationwide in the state of California at MSRP. We're selling them at MSRP. So it's a pretty amazing fact for us, and that's why I said 2003 was a major turnaround. And actually, I guess we can thank California Resources Board, and now they have an EV success story on their hands.
After the lot. Which had nothing to do with it, they're unrelated. Is there any chance we can fill the gap between that car and the fuel cell car? This is nothing more than an electric vehicle. That's what it is. The fuel cell is just a source that makes it go. You can put batteries in the car, it'll go the same way. If you produce more batteries, the price will come down. Why don't we get into that gap? That's a big gap between that car and this.
Well, I think the hybrid vehicle will help to fill that gap somewhat and keep the competitive aspect going in the battery technology, because that has been a major challenge for us in all of these electric drive technologies, getting the batteries to support these technology vehicles in a way that customers are going to be happy with.
One of the issues with battery electric vehicles, of course, and I don't know if that's what you were advocating here,
yes,
is the fact that you can only pour energy back into the vehicle so fast. I remember this fact from years ago when I worked at GM and I was working on the EV1 program, and John Dobbles, my old friend from that day, is standing back there. But when you put your gasoline nozzle into the vehicle, you're filling at the rate of about 8 to 10 megawatts of power flow. And that allows you to refill your car in about 5 minutes and go cross country. Doing a battery electric vehicle would take, let's say we all drove battery cars and you were along a freeway filling in and pulling in to fill up in 5 minutes. You'd have to have a nuclear power plant out back to do that. So long range electric cars are not practical because they take so much electrical energy and so much time to put refill them. That's why this car is so popular, in my opinion, because you can charge it overnight in comfort of your garage from a 110-volt outlet, and every day when you go to use it, it's fully fueled and ready to go for another 25 miles, and because it's low speed, you don't use up more than one tank of electricity per day.
But it's not a commuter car.
But it's not a commuter car. But if you go to, let's say, 150-mile range on your car, then you have another problem. You can't refuel it overnight conveniently unless you're using fast charging. And that puts quite a strain on the grid if everybody was driving those kind of vehicles.
AeroVironment has developed a fast charging system doing
that. I know. I'm very familiar with it. When I was working at GM, we helped pay for that.
So it works.
I wanted to ask about warranty issues if we bring biodiesel diesels over here. If people run any biofuel in them, does that invalidate warranties in your experience?
You're beyond my technical expertise, but I'll tell you what, I'll give you my card, and if you'll give me a call or give me an email, I'll track down the answer for you.
All right. One other quick question. I'm sorry if you've already answered this. Talking about hybrids, any chance of a plug-in hybrid, or is it just going to be...
We are working on a small project to investigate the advantages of plug-in hybrids. I think maybe, right now we see some limitations there, concern us. And again, I'll be glad to talk to you about
that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your questions. Now please join us for lunch. As I indicated, Larry, Dr. Carpenter, and Rick Casper will be here to answer your questions. This was a very stimulating conversation. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.